and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts, Paul.
And Tony.
And got another interesting interview lined up, this time with Tanker.
So, originally Tanker was being interviewed by Jack. Unfortunately, Jack's got COVID and is suffering and is tucked up in bed. So, thoughts are with you, Jack. Hope you get well soon. But it did mean we had the opportunity to steal all of your interviews, so...
So without further ado, here's our interview with
Adam Tanker Jones. Hello and welcome to another of our Masters interviews. Today, we're very pleased to be talking to Tanker. So hiya, Tanker.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Morning, Tanker mate. How's it going?
Good, good.
Thanks for making the time to pop on. So,
no worries at all, guys.
We've been caught a little bit on the hop here, so we're going to rush out several more podcasts for yourselves, for your listening pleasure. Unfortunately, one of our co-podcasts has come down with the dreaded vid, so we've stepped up to the plate, and there's another three interviews coming your way, so brace yourselves. But yeah, this show, we're joined by Tanker.
So it's been another good year for you, Tanker.
Yeah, overall, it's been pretty good. Yeah.
You're normally in the Masters, though. How many times have you been?
So I've been to all the ninth age ones, and then I qualified for the last couple of the 8th edition ones, but I only went to the final 8th edition one because I couldn't make the year before that.
So it's not really spooking you as you've been so many times before. Did you find
it's always a good event, though, because, you know, well, normally you know most of the players there quite well, and you know that it's going to be a tough field every game.
So in the build-up to the Masters, what's actually got you into the ranking? What's got you into such a high place in the rankings? I mean, is it one specific army or a couple of lucky events? How have you ended up, or again, consistently end up in that, you know, those top positions?
I was just checking my master scores, actually. I think I'm right in saying that it's four different armies, but I'm just checking. I know I got a good score with the Demons in one of the UB events early on in the year. I think I got a good score with Beast Herds early on in the year. And then I got a good score with Warriors in the real life event and a good decent score with Ogres in the real life event. So I think it's four different armies in my top four.
And you, I mean, you do switch between armies quite a lot, don't you, according to... Do you anticipate what other people are playing, or do you just go with what you fancy at that point?
Most of the time it's what I fancy. I think the Ogre list I've been playing recently, I probably want someone to take to ETC on the team, depending on how it does over the next few months. So I've been playing that in preparation for kind of handing that over. The Warrior list I took to Cardiff was purely because I wanted to get drunk and push it forwards. And it did quite well. And then prior to that, with UB being available, I figured to do it a couple of armies I haven't played in a long time. So, yeah, Demons I played right at the end of 8th edition, start of 9th, but I haven't, and I sold the army, so I haven't played them since then. So that was interesting to get those out. And I've never actually used Beast Herds more than a couple of games here and there in the past when borrowing off friends, so it was good to give them a whirl on UB at the start of the year as well.
Do you find that playing different armies makes you a better player? Because you kind of start to work out what all the weaknesses are of those various lists that you play, or is it more... you're drawn to a certain type of list and that just complements you as the kind of player you are? I suppose it's two questions there.
I think the list I play are normally fairly different. Like, obviously, the Warrior list was full push and the Ogre's quite shooty. So the type of list isn't it so much. I think playing every army or a lot of armies does help some people. I think some players can pick up armies and play them quite fast. And I think some players do get quite specialised with a particular race. So I think it does kind of depend on the player as well. Like, there's certain players I can think of in the scene that do really well once they've had enough games with an army. Whereas there's other players on the scene that do really well when they pick up different armies, that type of thing. So I think it does depend on the player, really.
Hmm. But for yourself, do you find that you kind of just migrate to various armies quite well, and that builds you as a player? Is that why you're kind of drawn to trying out new things?
I mean, I didn't swap that much over the last, before this year, the last couple of years, I played so much Warriors, and I was so bored of them by this year that I've been trying different lists out, different armies and different warrior lists than I've normally taken in the past. So, yeah, that's been the main reasoning for this year.
So is there any particular event that jumps to mind that you thoroughly enjoyed this year? Was there any kind of, is it because of a list or because it was, well, I'll leave it to you to decide as to why it was your favourite, but anything jumped to mind?
So the two I enjoyed the most this year are actually the UB events. Oddly, even though I don't overly like UB events. So the Veto tournament was really good. I did enjoy that a lot. I think in hindsight, 1 week per round with that was quite tight, because you obviously had a couple of days right at the start where you had to do the vetoes and write a list and then get the game in the following 4 or 5 days. So that was quite tight in hindsight, but I really enjoyed that tournament. And then I also enjoyed the Wandering Wizards tournament because it just gave everyone something a bit different.
Okay, it's interesting feedback. Tony and I were talking about doing various different podcasts in the future. It's a bit of a tangent, but I do find the advantage of UB, or indeed most tournaments in the UK, it'd be nice if things were varied from the norm. I think there's quite a bit of feedback as to people enjoy a little bit of change every now and then, makes it a bit different.
Yeah, and I know I've been quite vocal on wanting more scenarios. I know Craig's wrote to pack for trying to push more scenarios into the game at the moment. So definitely anything that creates a bit of more diversity for next year is only going to be beneficial.
So after, considering it's after deadline day for lists going, and we can actually be a little bit more open about what everybody's taking. Obviously, you don't have to disclose certain strategies if you don't want to, but what army did you eventually decide on taking?
So I actually subbed High Elves in the end.
What? I didn't see that coming.
Is that because they're filth?
Not overly. I think the couple of considerations I had, there were a couple of warrior builds I was looking at, and then I looked at who was going to the event, and I don't think either of them were great. I think a more balanced list would have been better, and I just wasn't interested in playing a boring warriors list to me after playing them for so long. And then I was going to take Dread Elves, but after looking at who's going and what armies I thought would arrive, I figured there was a good 3 or 4 players in that list that I wouldn't want to face. And with it only being obviously 15 opponents, you could easily get 2 of those in the tournament. So I figured I didn't want none games, especially against some of the shooting armies that are going to be there. So I know Mark's likely to take his shooty High Elves. Josh will have shooty Wood Elves. And I just don't think the Dread Elves want any part of that, basically.
Fair enough. So was there anything in that particular army of the High Elves then that drew you to taking that list? What was the kind of foundation of the list or the premise behind it?
So the main premise was it's actually just whatever I had the models for in a way. So I've got a very old from 8th edition Wood Elf army that I've always used as Dark Elves. They've been converted up. And basically, there's quite a lot of great weapon armed models. There's a fair few spearmen in there. There's some shooting stuff, some bolt throwers. So basically, I have everything that can do the standard infantry High Elf build, really. I just can't do any of the monsters or any of the chariots, that type of stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, I mean, I haven't actually seen your list then, but it doesn't say you're not running like a two ancient dragon list then, or...
No. I'm pretty sure Haristo ran the same list or a very similar list earlier on in the year, the double sword master block, and then the big spear unit and core.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, to be honest, mate, you caught me completely by surprise because I didn't put you down as that kind of player. So... Welcome to Res 3 and no armor. Woohoo!
Yeah, I did take them to a team event. Oh, God, at probably end of 20. It might have been mid last year. I took them to an international team event on UB. And they were fairly interesting. They did okay there. So it's not, the list's not too far away from that list, to be honest.
So, I mean, you're obviously going to win. I mean, surely if you get to the Masters, everybody's playing to win. You've thought about the matchups. I mean, how do you think you'll do? Is it just a roll of a dice at the Masters, or do you think you'll be up in the podiums? I mean, you can't guarantee to win, but you can aim high.
So traditionally at the Masters, I haven't actually done that well. So I've always taken something that I've had no practice games with, or something quite unique to the Masters, because I figured getting to the Masters has always been, for me, the main aim. And then when you actually get to the Masters, it's normally just to play something a bit different. I think this year probably won't be much different. I'm hoping top half or so. But the list is a solid list, but obviously it does have a few bad matchups, a few good matchups, and in the bad matchups it can't really push for points.
Yeah.
It's pretty matchup dependent. And I mean, again, have you thought of the army swap? Is that something you've considered within your list and built in weaknesses, or is it more just...
No, I think the list is pretty solid overall. It's a pretty standard blocky high elf list. It'll have the same weaknesses and the same strengths as any other, really.
You have a year out, really, because you rolled a dice last year, didn't you, and got KOE.
Yeah, I rolled a dice and got KOE, which that was the one benefit of having UB at the time. But yeah, if it had been KOE this year, if it had been UB and KOE this year, they'd definitely look in a strong place.
I mean, I have been wondering with the Open and with the Masters, how many KOE will turn up. Or is it a bit like the Dread Elves the other year, where everybody was anticipating them, and then in the end, everybody kind of went with the armies they knew a bit more, or had. So, do you think there'll be many this year?
I think for the Masters, I think there'll be one. I think Hugh will bring them, personally. Interested to see if he does, but I think he may be bringing them. And then in terms of the Open, I'm just trying to think who's going that actually has access to them. That's the problem, because it was quite an unpopular army. It's who has access to them. I think there's probably a couple of names I recognise in there, maybe borrowing off people's armies in the past. But the other problem is that the current lists don't really look that similar to the old list, if that makes sense.
Everybody's strapping great weapons on their knights.
Do you need a bit more pegs? You might need a bit more pegs than you had previously. I quite like the Resplendent Knights for the points. I think that they're pretty strong overall. The two attack each on the charge ones. And then I actually think the core units, you want big core units now, and most people had smaller knight units. So, yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. And then you also want peasants, ideally, I think, now.
Yeah, a bit more mixed arms. Get the most out of the book.
They're all good.
Yeah. The Lance formation rule giving fighting extra rank, even if you're not in the Lance formation, is very interesting. The unit of 15 core knights, 5 wide, is actually quite scary.
Reminds me of the old Highborn Silverhelm bus. I don't know, was it 8th edition Warhammer, or was that in 9th edition where they fought in an extra rank?
And, I think it was 8th. I don't remember it in 9th.
I can't remember what... I'm thinking at the beginning of 9th, it was still fighting an extra rank, or something. Martial Discipline before they changed it to the whole discipline element, which reflected the name.
But anyway, it may have been.
It is interesting. It's, it does give you... Fighting that extra rank on the charge is huge.
The Night Buzz, and the 3 or 4 Phoenixes, wasn't it, right at the start of 9th Age?
So this year is the first year I can think of with 9th that it's at a different venue, isn't it? The Masters is born in Brum. Are you excited about that, being a local boy?
No, not actually, unfortunately. I'm sure Jordan will do a great job, but personally, I kind of liked going away for the Masters and spending the weekend away. And the other reason is, born in Brum, for me personally, it's fairly close, but it's not close enough that you'll get taxi to it. You need to drive, so I won't be drinking, unfortunately.
Oh, right.
Now,
okay.
Would you drink at the Masters anyway, though, or is that because everybody's on their A game?
No, I've drank at the Masters a lot in the past. Yeah, I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, I went out with Fraz and James till very early in the morning on the Saturday.
Very good.
Or very late in the morning, I should say.
Going in home.
There's always an opportunity this year as well. You might sleep in your car. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I've got people stopping at mine, so I think that's going to curtail that as well.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, though. A lot of people enjoy the Masters for the social aspect, for the environment, for the actual event itself. I mean, obviously, people do want to aspire to become the Master, but like you say, you could swat up, prepare, go in, be completely teetotal, take it totally seriously, go to bed early the night before, the night of the tournament, and still come mid-table, whereas you can guarantee yourself a great time anyway by just thoroughly enjoying yourself. And if you win, it's a Brucey bonus.
Yeah. And as I said, I do think Jordan did a really good job. I know he's put a lot of work in. I personally just prefer going away. And I think the Cardiff and Element venues having bars on site and being away is just a bit nicer for the social aspect. Boarding Brum doesn't really have a hub close to the venue where you can just walk across the road to the pub like at Element, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although it's, I mean, it's good it's moving, and from our point of view, no bar, but knocks 2 hours off our journey. So it's...
I can... I definitely think in terms of location-wise, it's a better location for the majority of people.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, you know, I mean, that was the idea, wasn't it, of the committee and people nominating, because it...
Yeah.
So it becomes a bit of a wandering event, and we can move with the times and with the people. So fingers crossed, this is the first one that it's actually happened at.
Yeah, because historically it was always held in Derby before Ninth Edition came along. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting one that we've always been at Element since. But then, yeah, as you say, first one outside.
I kind of miss those old tournaments in working men's clubs and parish halls and whatever. You don't see much of that because the game centres make it so easy. Haven't got to hire a hall, haven't got to get the tables and all that out and ready. So,
yeah.
It's a tricky one. That's another conversation probably on organising tournaments, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to say, just before we wrap up, obviously, with everything that's going on, are there any particular armies or players that you're looking to avoid?
I think it'll depend on what Jake's bought, but High Elves don't typically like ID. So it'll depend on what he's bought, though, regarding that, because obviously my shooting is flaming or bolt throwers, so if he's got a lot of stuff that doesn't care about that, it might be a bit of a struggle. Mm. And then outside of that, not overly. I think most the list there I can probably play. I don't want to play a massively heavy Feldrake list, but I'm hoping that no one will be bringing those, or if they do, it'll just be the one unit. Because
Matt Perris in the open, isn't it? With probably a dozen. He was complaining about the cap of 12.
Yeah, I was looking to bring triple Feldrake Ancestor to the Masters, but I think there's just a couple of armies. There's at least three or four armies there which won't care about them, was the problem when I was looking at it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crazy list when you put that on the chat. I was thinking, wow, that looks horrendous.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think between the two elf gun lines, Haristo with cannons, and then a couple of the other armies which don't care about them as much, I just don't think it would have been a solid choice, unfortunately. I think it's definitely an interesting list if you play in a team's environment.
Yeah, definitely. When you can pick the matchups and the lack of magic isn't so extreme.
Yeah,
great. Well, listen, mate, thanks very much for coming on the show.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Looking forward to catching up next weekend. I think Tony and I are pretty stoked. This is the first open event we've gone to. So we're going to the Masters. Woohoo! We'll see you there.
Yeah. Right, guys.
Thank you very much, Tenka.
Cheers, guys.
Hi, guys. It's me, Lucky Sixes from Proxy Table Gaming.
And me, Matty P from the Paired Weapons Podcast.
The Masters competition is back. For your chance to win a selection of these prizes, including gaming accessories, 3D print vouchers, the Breach introduction game, and commissions from the Gobbo, simply answer this question. Which army was placed at the top of the latest tier list, released in December 2021? Was it Orcs and Goblins,
Demon Legions,
or Beast Herds?
To enter, simply send your answer to the following email address, pairedweaponpodcast@gmail.com. That's the pairedweaponpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to include your name, contact details, and your answer. Check out the Masters Review Show on the Proxy Table Gaming YouTube channel shortly after the tournament itself.
Thanks to all our partners and sponsors.
And good luck.
See you later.